DW.
They took everything you had, you got nothing on your hand. Stop being mad.
Rise up and shine.
I'm to be a famous rapper. Yeah.
CP War, aka Dream Chaser, is standing outside his grandmother's straw-thatched rondavel in Mankosi in the Eastern Cape of South Africa. Next to the 15-year-old are his friends, Keke and Elihle, who call themselves Slim Chain and Mickey Moose.
Life is like a dice game. Every day it's funeral. Man, it's time to wake up. This is just have to pay.
On the weekends, the trio meet up to practice their rap songs. There's not much else to do here in this remote community of 12 small villages and roughly 3,500 people spread over the rolling hills of the country's breathtaking coast.
Wi-Fi. To download some beats.
But there is a Wi-Fi network in Mankosi, so the boys often crouch over Keke's smartphone to get online.
For school work,
download beats and watch YouTube videos of their favourite South African rapper, MT. They say they also sometimes use the internet to do research for school assignments and to Google stuff. The boys' dream is to get out of Mankosi one day to make it big.
It's too far at school and few people who take care of people who want to be
famous
rappers, yeah.
And we're struggling now with music because no one helps us. Yeah.
Sometimes it's nice, sometimes it's boring. Many people are in cities, but as we're staying here, have money, we're struggling.
Yeah.
Want to go out of Mankosi. Yeah. My parents are trying, but they are struggling to pay us fees.
Mankosi, more than 2 hours' drive from the next major town, Mthatha, is located in what during the apartheid era used to be one of the so-called Bantustans. These supposedly autonomous territories were designated for black populations, effectively excluding them from South Africa's political system. The Bantustans also served as pools for migrant labour, sending maids and miners to work for white South Africa. This history is still apparent today. There is nothing here. It was only last year that Mankosi was partially electrified. Children often have to walk an hour or more to one of the three schools in the area. There are some so-called spaza stores, usually run from people's homes, selling basics, and a few shebeens, informal drinking holes. Two backpackers' lodges and a crayfish farm are the only employers in the community. According to a researcher, about half of Mankosi's economy is based on remittances from villagers working in other parts of the country who send money home. The other half is based on social grants for children, the elderly and the disabled.
Our government hasn't any work for our people. We want our people to work at their place so that crime will be down. They may not to go to drugs because there's no work, drinking, overdosing, raping, that, you know, it is our dream. When we started this co-op of Tanzania.
Nonsokolo Gladys Sikau, always a smile on her face, is busy feeding her chickens and pigs as they roam freely among the huts of her homestead. The 50-year-old wife of the headman, a local leader, is one of 9 members of the Zenseleni Networks Cooperative, which is building a solar-powered Wi-Fi network to provide internet access to their community. The community network project started 6 years ago when Carlos Rey Moreno came to Mankosi to do research for his PhD at the University of the Western Cape. The 33-year-old Spaniard wanted to explore whether rural communities in South Africa could set up, maintain and operate their own telecommunications networks.
Because in rural South Africa, despite having access to networks from the mobile network operators, the huge inequality in between the rich and the poor in the country makes that the prices are not tailored to the poorest of the population, so they spend huge percentages of their disposable income in communications. According to the data that I collected during my PhD, people around these areas spend more than 20% of their disposable income, monthly disposable income, in communications. So the whole idea was try to see whether by the community setting up these type of systems, whether they could actually cut down on those prices and meet their communication needs more affordably.
First, Moreno and some of the villagers set up a local voice-over IP phone grid using analog phones. This allowed people to communicate with each other free of cost. Mankosi is strung loosely along a 7-kilometre stretch of dirt road, with its brightly painted homesteads spread far and wide. So initially, the network simply spared locals a long walk when they wanted to talk to each other.
South Africa is one of the most expensive countries in internet data in Africa. So if you take that into a place where income is not big, you spend very quickly a huge percentage of your disposable income for very, very little. If you look at it also from a government perspective, 50% of the local economy comes from the government, and 50% is actually living in the hands of the mobile network operators. You know, it's social grants to improve the livelihoods of the people, and that money is not being used in education, it's not being used in health, it's not being used in other things that could improve the livelihoods of the people, because it's not that they use 22% of the disposable income and they go online and they, you know, watch videos for a whole month and it's like, okay, well, no. It's making 5 calls, it's using 10 megabits of data every week.
Over the years, Zenzeleni Networks, which means do-it-yourself in the local Xhosa language, has become the nation's first village-owned internet service provider. It is a non-profit organisation, partly funded by grants, and it's now beginning to sustain itself by providing connectivity to the few businesses in the area and by selling vouchers for fast and reliable Wi-Fi at a much cheaper rate than mobile data. Currently, a voucher costs locals 10 South African rand, just 60 euro cents, and gives access to unlimited data for 1 month. By comparison, a mobile data bundle from one national telecommunications company costs 12 rand for 24 hours access to a limited amount of data. And the mobile phone coverage in Mankosi is often patchy too.
The chief is proud because this place, it is the first place to have its own network. It was a dream. No one understood what is going on. It was a dream. Even the government didn't understand why these people from the rural area do this big job.
Nonsokolo Gladys Tsikau is especially proud because neither she nor many of the other predominantly older co-op members are very comfortable with the internet and modern technology. The mother of six explains what's motivated her over the years to keep going with the project.
We do this for our children because we are old and we are not educated. Then it is their future to carry on for better life, for works. You saw? So that they may say, our mothers and fathers do this for us. I didn't want my child to be like me. I want them to be bachelors, to have BA, BMW, all of them. Yeah.
So it's mainly the younger members of the community who use the Zenzeleni network on their smartphones for entertainment and social media, to apply to universities or search for jobs, or to do research for school and to watch the news. Sikal's daughter, Pelobasi, is one of them. The 13-year-old dreams of being a doctor one day.
I'm going to look recipes in, and I'm cooking, and I'm going to YouTube and see movies, everything that I watch it.
And you use it for school as well?
Yes, English and NSN Tech, SS, life skills. I'm very, very proud of my mother because everything that I need, we give me.
As well as the elderly co-op members, there are also two younger ones. One of them is Masibulele J. Sia. Together with Carlos Rey Moreno, he co-founded Zenzeleni Networks and is very involved in its day-to-day running. He explains that working with older community members on the project was a deliberate decision.
Old people, they have played their role. They've went to the mines, they worked, and they come back to the rural areas. They don't have much more skills to do anything. But their age also kind of give them, they have seen enough in their life. They know what is needed in the community.
The 34-year-old grew up in Mankosi but was able to go to school in Mthatha to get out for a while. When he moved back to his community, he involved himself in NGO work. But like many young people, he became disillusioned with top-down projects initiated by outsiders. He says these were neither sustainable nor transparent, and few local people were employed. Projects would be started and then abandoned once the grants ran out a year or two later.
The beauty about Zenze Learning is that we are having older people who understood this from the very beginning and said, we understand that our children, they won't really make it. One, they lost their trust on the community development projects because of this history of our communities. And secondly, those young ones, they're also looking to get employment in any minute. So for them being the part of it means they'll be part of it for 3 months or 4 months. Then they get employment that will maybe take them 6 months away. So how do you, there's no long-term commitment they can make. Rather than the old people, they're just sitting there, they're looking after their animals, cows and so forth. So it's much more easier for them to commit on this stuff. And they made it clear and saying that we're doing it for our children, not for us. We understand that we don't have education, but the few that we have around, we're going to the rest to make sure that we discuss things, we try to understand, and we build it. They saw a future in this from the very beginning.
Sia believes that recognising each person in the community is what has made the project such a success.
One thing that has been a challenge was the tribal authorities, they've been left out of this kind of development. I mean, it's their land, and you started to do projects and don't recognise them. It's kind of undermining their presence in the community, which is, to us, we just said, OK, we want to go to see to the headman's house in every month, open, talk, like any question that any person has got, come and ask. And, you know, which is more like built on from the bottom of the heart. It is healthy in that way. Because the minute you know that you're doing it for someone else, you don't really think about you just think about other person. It's more like deeper than that. I don't think it's more about the project and Zenze Learning per se. I think it also built some sort of relationship to the cooperative members, like to know deeper than they've been knowing each other.
This journey is long to go to God. Then I say, this journey, it is a long journey to get the Zenze Learning network.
Sikau is proud she stuck with the project despite the challenges along the way. And she's happy that Zenze Learning Networks is now expanding to other villages along the coast. Other remote communities are also interested in being connected. Eventually, the co-op hopes to employ and pay several locals and to train teachers and others in information technology. And the cooperative also gives out microcredit from the revenue it makes. One day, the small and energetic woman hopes, Zenze Learning Networks will be known all over the world.
DW.